Outdoor magazines started putting banners across the corners of their covers, advertising the number of tips, skills, or pointers for better fishing or hunting in that issue. See on the bulletin cover, three tips for better Christianity. First, beware of pettifoggers. A pettifogger is someone given to quibbling over trifles. For example, even within the hand-washing tradition of the Jewish elders, there was a debate about whether the hands were to be held up or down, whether it was adequate to have the water run off the palms alone, or did the water have to run down the palms, onto wrist, and down the forearm. Beware of pettifoggers, and know that the answer to uncleanliness before God is not pettifogging lawyers. Pettifoggers can be found in the church, in liturgy, and prayer. In liturgy, the pettifoggers will tell you, you must bow here, cross yourself here, kneel here, stand there, and hold your hands just so, or else. Yet, yes, all things are to be done reverently, but the spirit of pettifoggery puts a damper on what should be a joyful service. That spirit can also lead to not praying, when it leaves the impression that the time, the place, the manner, and the very words of an acceptable prayer are all dictated. You might not get this joke unless you fished some. When you're out with others and everybody else is catching but you're not, invariably one of the guys says, you must not be holding your lips right. Hint, how you hold your lips has nothing to do with catching fish. It's pettifogging to say it does. And it's pettifogging to think anything you can do can deal with what streams out of your sinful, fallen heart. Jesus says, from within come sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Jesus doesn't say they could come from there. He doesn't say they might come. He doesn't say they will come. He says, do come. Jesus captures them all by at first calling them not evil thoughts, as that insert translates, but base, worthless ones. And then he ends by calling them actively evil things. Nope, you cannot deal with them by saying this prayer, doing this liturgical gesture, reciting the Lord's Prayer five times, or holding your lips just so. First tip, beware of pettifoggery. Second, have more than a Bible for a creed. For fear of making the traditions of men a doctrine of God, among some Protestants, it's no creed but the Bible. At first blush, that sounds good. But what does it mean? What you believe the Bible says, that's your creed. And everybody has one. Even those who claim to have no creed but the Bible have a creed. They teach something about creation, something about the fall, something about redemption, and how that redemption, justification, salvation that Jesus did in 30 AD gets down to you in 2021. The issue is, does your creed accurately confess what the Bible means? The creedal statement, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, well, that confesses what the Bible says. The confession, I believe God created the heavens and the earth by evolution, well, that conflicts with what the Bible says in Exodus 20:11. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. The creedal statement, I believe in one baptism for the remission of sins, that correctly confesses Acts 2:38. Be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Teaching baptism does not forgive sins, well, conflicts with that passage. A creed, a faith, is judged not how sincerely, certainly, or joyfully a person holds it, says it, or shares it. A creed, a faith, a confession, a belief is judged the same way any substance is. A substance is either edible or inedible. objectively. No matter how sincerely, certainly, or joyfully you take poison, it's still poison. The problem is people don't know what their confession of faith is. Luther called that coal miner's faith. He asked the coal miner what he believed, and he says, I believe what the church believes. You ask him, what does the church believe? And he says, the church believes what I believe. You know, for all my shortcomings as a pastor, if you don't know what this church believes, teaches, and confessing, it's all on you, not at all on me. Let me put this starkly. When you kneel at this altar before the Lord Jesus, you're confessing to believe in a particular Jesus. The same is true at whatever altar people worship at. A particular Jesus is confessed, taught, and believed at that altar. You're responsible for knowing which Jesus it is, and is it the Jesus revealed in the Bible? Three tips to better Christianity, says the banner. Number one, beware of pettifoggers. Number two, have more than a Bible for a creed. And number three, get to the heart of the matter. Jesus named all the worthless, actively wicked things pouring out of men's hearts. The picture is the bats coming out from under the Congress Avenue Bridge. I'll give you an even more disgusting image. We came home after flooding waters had subsided in Louisiana. It was night. The headlights hit the brick of the house. It was moving with hundreds of cockroaches having fled the flooded sewer. Go ahead, shudder. But realizing pettifogging dampens, deadens, lessens that disgust. That word dates to 1564. It's a compound word meaning petty as in small-minded, and fogger, which they think comes from the German merchants and bankers named the Fuggers. I prefer thinking of foggers as foggy. Like in Revelation, when hell is open, so much smoke billows out, the sun is blotted out. Pettifogging tries to get you to focus on this or that thing, sin, or action, as if doing so addresses the mass of smoke boiling out of hell. Jesus takes you to the heart of the matter. The Pharisees and teachers of the law, pettifoggers all, want to look outside of you, your actions. Jesus points back to the heart. Even if I had gotten out of my car and started swatting roaches, well, I could have killed a good many. I would have done nothing to the heart of the matter, the sewer where they thrived and multiplied. And you're fooling yourself if you think any of the things you do actually deal with all the worthless, wicked things erupting from your heart. Lady Macbeth scrubs her hands raw and yet still sees the stain of her sin, crying, "Out, damned spot." Or Jenny, confronting the sins against her in the past which boil up in her life in sinful ways, takes to throwing rocks at the house she grew up in. After she collapses in the dirt, Forrest Gump says, "Sometimes I guess there just aren't enough rocks." A pettifogger would say, "You just need to throw this one." Or to Lady Macbeth, he'd say, "You just need to scrub this way." Get to the heart of the matter is tip three, and tip 3B is go to Galatians. Galatians 3:3 says, "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now trying to reach the goal by the flesh?" Or another way of saying this is, having begun your new spiritual life by the gospel, do you really think you can finish it off by means of the law? What is the promise of the New Testament? The Lord promises to give us a new heart. Jesus' heart alone had none of the wicked roaches boiling up out of it. His heart was clean. Never did it have a wicked or worthless thought. But his heart was broken, betrayed by disciples, abandoned by friends, given up on by loved ones. And finally, even his heavenly Father left him alone in hell for 3 eternal hours. In the end, his heart was pierced through and it bled. It bled blood and water to cover your sins and sinfulness. And for the sake of our sinfully stained hands, his hands were nailed to the cross. And for the sake of our head that runs wild and rampant with uncontrollable worries, fears, lusts, prides, greeds, etc., 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 his holy head was crowned with thorns. Have you begun in that gospel and now you want to end in the law? Well, go for it. Keep on washing and scrubbing. Keep on dotting your I's and crossing your T's and see if you find yourself anywhere but with Lady Macbeth. And go ahead, throw this and that rock. Heck, throw your whole self at the sins against you and your sins against God and others and see if you end up in any better place than Jenny did. Or you can go to the heart of the matter and see that what you really need is your feet washed. Come to the upper room, Monday, Thursday night, where bread is the body of Jesus and wine is his blood, and where foot washing is forgiveness. In John 13, Peter thinks it's no more than slaves' work, foot washing, and he forbids Jesus to wash his feet. Jesus says that he has no part in him, Peter has no part in him, if he doesn't. Peter then says, well then, not just my feet, but all of me. Jesus replies, a person who has bathed only needs his feet washed. You are clean. Then jump forward to John chapter 15. Jesus tells us what makes us clean. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. The forgiveness Jesus won by a holy life and unholy death in your place was applied to you by the word of Jesus' forgiveness I spoke to you. In baptism, the visible word was applied to you for forgiveness, rescue from death and the devil, and eternal salvation for all who believe. Get to the heart of the matter and hear Paul preaching in Acts 13:38. So let it be known to you that through this Jesus, forgiveness of sins is being proclaimed to you. Forgiveness from everything from which you could not be justified through the law of Moses. You see, no help comes from the law in the matter of your justification. It exposes your sins and sinfulness. It shows you the roach-infested condition of every fallen human heart. But it has no answer for that condition. In Acts chapter 15, you have to read it, you might think that the matter at hand is the law. No, in Acts 15, the matter at hand is how our hearts cleansed. And Peter declares that for both Jews and non-Jews, the only way the heart is cleansed is by faith. And now we're back to hint number two, having more than the Bible for a creed. Just what do you believe? Just what faith gives a new heart and rescues me from my own fallen one, giving me clean hands and a rock-free conscience, Christianity. How about the faith Paul confesses in Galatians 2:20? I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, that isn't better Christianity. It's the only Christianity. Amen. Now, may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.